Hello, welcome back.
Welcome.
We're here.
We're back.
We got a special one coming for you today.
It's a good one.
It's going to be even better than last week's.
Easy.
I know, okay. It's going to be tough. Will be. This might be tough. A lot of pressure for our guest today. Before we get into that,
yep.
Let's hit it up with a couple of shout-outs. Actually, my guy to the right here actually knows this first one. Gene Luzzi. Gene Luzzi out there at Treasure Valley Eco Wash, former member of the 101st Civil Support Team, National Guard member. Good man, yep.
I like it.
Support your troops, support your local business.
Yeah.
He'll come clean the turds out of your
and the maggots.
And the maggots. I know personally. Hit him up, Instagram, Facebook, the whole deal. Also, R.C. Kennegy.
Bison Fence.
Yeah.
Don't forget Esquire.
I did forget. Esquire, Bison Fence, he's out there working in the solid tundra that is your ground right now, digging holes, putting in fence. Look him up.
That's what he does.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. Hit him up, support him.
We got American Batsmith.
American Batsmith, the kin of the Stokes.
Get him.
Yep.
You want to hit dingers? Get it.
Yep, they're in the AAA level right now. They're almost there, almost the majors. They're going to make it.
They're going to make it.
Who knows? Maybe former LA Dodger Corey Seager. We'll be hitting one.
Maybe go Freddie Freeman.
Freddie down in Atlanta. Let's go.
Get him swinging it.
Woo! American Batsmith. Find your future home run dinger bat.
I like it. There you go.
All right, we got a special guest today. Good pal of mine. I work with him. His name is Troy McDonald. Troy, say hi.
Hello.
I met him once a few years ago.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo.
Appreciate you having us in your home and doing this with us.
Of course. I'm honored to be a guest, but I do have a question.
Sure.
So with Treasure Valley Eco Wash and the fencing company, do I get any sort of discount for being on the show?
Actually, we could probably make that happen. Well, you know Gene come by and hook you up.
Well, Gene.
If he hasn't already.
Well, I want an even better discount.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, gotcha.
I want him to pay me to come do it.
Oh, no. I don't know if he's going to do that. You could probably go work for him.
Well, if you're listening, Gene.
He listens. Yeah.
He does listen. He's been a loyal listener since day one, actually. Big shout out to Gene Luzzi. Appreciate all the support. He might have just texted me right now. Shoot.
Hey, you know what? And we shout out Randall all the time, and he never listens.
I know. You know what?
Randall? We're about done.
Yeah, man. Where are you at, dude? You don't even... Never mind. Who cares? That's not what we're here
for. No respect.
So, the reason we're here in one Troy McDonald's house today to talk to him, we wanted to interview... Get the single dad perspective for the show. Just see how that's going, ask questions, and just give the listeners a sneak peek into the life of the single dad, especially one with two, not one, but two young blonde ladies.
It's an adventure every day.
Yeah. So just how long have you been a single dad for?
Just a little over a year now.
Yeah. And how's that been going?
Each day's better than the last.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of open.
It's a work in progress, you'd say?
Yeah, just imperfect progress every day.
Oh, yeah.
So it's for sure. It's kind of like looking back at when it first started to today. It's just that those little small steps, those baby steps every day. And it's like the journey of a million miles starts with a single step. And it's like, oh, I am way better than I was back then. So
yeah, you've come a long way. Leaps and bounds, I would say. Yeah, I can feel it. Just haven't been around you as long as I have. You definitely got a good grasp of this thing. And yeah, I think it probably helps too. You and the ex have a decent relationship where you can share the girls and the back and forth of the homes. You know, between your house and her house and stuff.
Yeah, that's actually made it really easy. So she's a tremendous mom and a tremendous co-parent. So that's actually made it extremely easy to do, because if she needs something, I'm there to help her. If I need something just at the drop of a hat, she's there for me. So that's definitely made it very easy in the process.
Nice.
Well, I mean, that's it.
Well, that's the show.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, thanks for having me.
The look on your face was like, what, really?
That is the quickest show.
We are whopping 5 minutes into this.
No, yeah, man. I mean, I think that's got to be huge, having that support system. There's a good amount of... I mean, everybody's divorced these days, honestly. I think one in two people. Isn't that the ratio what it is in the United States? It's like 50% divorce rate or something like that.
At least.
I mean, we all know people that are doing the single parent thing or you know, they're on their second marriage or, you know, what have you. And, I gotta say, man, I tell you, I mean, you there was no question if you had this dad hanging under wraps. He's a good pops, does a good job, but it's been impressive to see how you've handled the transition from, you know, married, you know, two parents in the same house to being a single parent with the two young ladies, you know.
Yeah, that was definitely kind of the, I don't even know the right word for it, the shock to it.
Cause yeah.
I always felt like I was a good dad and everything like that, but then it was, like, doing it alone, it was like, oh, man, I got this.
Right.
No doubt I got this.
Right.
And then I started doing it, I was like, I don't know if I got this.
I don't got this.
I don't think I have this. And then it was just kind of the, like, the consistency and the repetition of it. But I think the hardest part at the beginning was, like, me and the girls were, like, such creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there was routines, there was this, there was timelines for yeah. everything. And yeah. then kind of going to a new house, going to a new area, keeping them in the same school. So that was just adjusting the timelines a little bit and then trying to just find that routine to get back into.
How'd that work out?
It was a very rough transition at the beginning. So it was just kind of, like, before we knew, like, all right, where A to B takes this long, negative A to A takes this long to get ready, so we got this. So it was a rough transition trying to kind of get that stuff down and
right
into the routine. But like I said, just through, like, consistency and repeating the same process over and over and failing
yeah
9 out of 10 times at the beginning, you'd be like, okay, we're late for school because we did not plan very well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or, okay, you've got to go to this, like, yeah, I have to get you to church by this time on Wednesday evening. Well, I didn't factor in that we live 15 minutes farther away, so it was kind of like, oh yeah, we leave at this time.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you're walking into church late today and you're gonna get embarrassed and pointed at, but it's fine because the eyes of God are on you.
Hey, you know what, the Lord doesn't care if you're tardy.
He's just happy you're there.
He's just happy you're there.
No suspensions for you.
Right?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't go to church very much. You go to church a lot.
Yeah.
Do they care if you're late?
They just care that you're there.
There you go. See?
Shoot, we were late this Sunday.
What happened?
Well, you know.
He's got 4 kids, so you know how that goes. I think that's what happened.
No.
What happened? I had 4 kids.
We were with family all weekend, staying up late, so we're like, we're going to sleep in a little bit.
You know what? Sometimes you got to do it. You know what? And I applaud you quietly. For the microphone's purposes, he actually made it, because I would have just said, not going to happen. The Lord has taken a backseat to many Sundays for this guy.
You don't say.
Yeah, well, when the Niners are on, I mean, that's a tough deal. That's a tough deal.
That's your church.
That's my church, man. I live in it, you know. Me and it, we have a mutual respect, the big man and I.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I go to church every
day. I want to be there, a fly on the wall for these conversations.
I go to church every day, and it's right here, buddy, right in his brain.
Well, I've seen South Park, so I know that Christ is a Broncos fan.
I didn't remember that. That's pretty funny. Oh, gosh, South Park.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, man. So let's talk about the girls a little bit. How old are they?
Reese is 16.
Okay.
Going on 36, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Landry's 8, going on 8.5.
Okay.
So she's fully embraced and harnessing her 8-year-oldness.
Yeah, she's 8 and willing to stay 8, huh?
I think she'll be 13 going on 8, I hope.
Dude, Reese is... So when I met Troy, we've known together. We've known each other. We've
known together a while.
We've known each other for... almost 8 years. And so I knew his girls. I mean, Landry was tiny. And Reese was 8. 9, whatever.
Checking your math.
I know.
That's pretty accurate.
But it's just crazy to see her now. You know, I'd run into her out. She's working in high school. And I think it was the ex. Like, she looks so much like his ex-wife. It blows your mind, man. It's nuts.
But the counterbalance is Landry looks just like me.
Yeah, so. This is true. And it is just like you.
Yeah.
Landry.
Oh, man. She's a little fireball, just like...
Old Molly.
Old Molly, or little Molly.
Old Molly.
These little blondes, man. How do you guys do it?
Patience, persistence. I don't know. What did I say earlier?
Just go back to that time. And
I'll just
back.
I'll just go through, copy, edit.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be the same.
Copy and paste it.
The same comment. Oh, man. I know. You got these two blondes, and like I said, the oldest, she's a young lady. She's growing up, and you just got to stay hardened, right? Ready for war at all times.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, no. I do a little bit of free-range parenting. That's where I'm like, you got mistakes to make, so let's get after him.
Yeah, he's a pretty chill guy. I don't know. You're a lot more chill than I am, for sure. But, you know, hey, there's more. We talk about this a lot. There's 1,000 ways to parent, and I think they all have their ups and their downs and their rights and wrongs. That's how you do it, and I think you're doing a top-notch job.
None of us are Dr. Phil, like we always say.
Dr. Phil?
Doctor, what you gotta do?
You should have talked to Dr. Phil when you're going through those rough times. He could have helped you out.
He never answered my text.
Oh, he didn't? You said it. You just texted him, Phil.
Troy
McDonald.
Need some help.
What you gotta do?
The psychic lady Cleo actually got back to me more than...
Man, I thought she died. I mean, it's been since the 90s since I've heard from her.
I thought psychics live forever. Oh. Or is that
do you think psychics see their deaths coming?
That's funny. And interesting. Hmm. Valid point.
Do they know I'm going to die on this day and this is what's going to happen?
I think they see everybody else's BS and they don't know their own. Because it's all made up. Let's just be real.
Okay.
Well, they know what I'm going to die.
Miss Cleo! Call me now!
Call me now! Miss Cleo! God, she was great.
That was the epitome of the 90s right there.
Miss Cleo, call me now. I'll read your future.
I think I called that number once. I didn't get her, though. I got like
Your parents get the phone bill and beat you?
I think I called it from a payphone because that was a thing, right? When we were younger.
What the heck is a payphone?
Call 1-800 numbers from payphones. I used to do that a lot with other types of hotlines that I would never call from my house either, just to see what those sounded like.
you call them collect. And they ended up paying you to talk to them.
And what's funny is I learned this trick when I was younger. Any seven letter, because it's seven numbers, you know, any seven number that could possibly be something erotic was a phone number. Okay. So just so you know, anything that you could imagine that was two words, seven letters, was a number.
You were good to go.
We tried them all. And they all sounded the same, too. I don't know.
It was probably just one hotline.
Yeah, it probably. They said the word, but thanks for calling 1-800. That was my edit.
Yeah.
Because, you know. Thanks again for calling 1-800. Yeah.
The off chance that my children ever listen to this, I never called these numbers.
Me neither. I mean.
Not from a payphone, anyway.
It was always a payphone. You gotta be right. That's the trick, you know? You use the payphone for that stuff.
Oh, no. I had an older brother, so I just blamed it on them because I was too young and innocent. So it was like, yeah, it couldn't have been me, Mom. She's like, you're absolutely right.
Or if they did find out it was you, you know, they set a bad example for me. It was like, oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's always their fault no matter what.
They told me it was a good idea, and they're like, you know what, Angel? Why don't you head up to your room and play with your toys?
I got to take some care of business.
Getting spanked like that movie Mr. Deeds. No, Daddy, no! Like, just getting spanked.
Well, that was the beauty of being the baby.
Yeah.
Parents have been through everything already.
Same with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiled.
It's how we roll.
I was the oldest, so if something was going to happen,
you were the one getting beat.
I don't know. No, Daddy, no!
No, Daddy, no!
My dad didn't do anything. He'd be like, my mom would get mad at me.
No, because as the babies, we were sitting there, like, everyone's like, oh, they're not even paying attention. You're like, I'm taking notes.
I'm just sitting here playing with my toys. Yeah. Got my ear to the wind.
That's what my brother did, I think. He just sat back and collected the information. Don't do that. Check. Do that. That seems to work. Okay, check.
What are you doing? Slightly irritating when Dad sees Steve do this. Noted.
Yeah. What he failed to realize, or maybe he did, I don't know, but being the youngest, and my dad was the youngest of his kid, there is nothing my brother could ever do that he would get in trouble. Never. Especially for my dad. He was this free, get out of jail free all day.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't really get in trouble growing up or anything, but it was just funny because he just, you know, they had this weird... He's the youngest, I'm the youngest, bond, and I thought it was stupid. I hated it. I used to get in trouble just because I would say something to him. You're like, God, I don't like, I had to share a room with him. I'm like, I don't want to sleep with the nightlight on. Come on, he'd come up and yell at me. I'm like, put the nightlight's in my face, man. This kid can't grow up. Like, I'm right here. What's he need a nightlight for?
Steve, you'll be vulnerable.
Yo, he came, I would get in so much trouble. He came out like, spanked me one time because I was like, I want the nightlight off. And he spanked me. I'm like, there's my dad's parenting right there for you. I don't know how to use my words, so I'm just going to spank you. How's that? Does that work for you?
These are my words. They're at the end of my elbows.
Mm-hmm. And we're pretty good. We have a great relationship, though. You know, this isn't an episode on being abused by my father or anything, because I think that was one of four times he ever spanked me. I mean, honestly. So
shoot, I got spanked a lot more than
I got spanked more than that. And it was always by him. No, I take that back. My mom gave it to me a few times. But that's not what we're talking about. Let's get back to the single dads.
No, let's keep going.
Tell us how you really feel, Steve, huh?
Well, so holiday season is upon us. This is your... Now, I'm trying to remember. Did you do Christmas last year, too?
Because
I'm trying to remember. I didn't think... Yeah, you did, right?
We did. We did it together last year.
You did.
Yeah, because it was kind of like just... staring down the barrel of the divorce. We're like, I don't really know what I'm doing to you. It's like, no, I don't know what I'm doing either. It's like, okay, next year.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it.
Is it still?
Let's keep it together this year.
So how are you prepared? It seems like you're prepared. I'm looking around. I got the Christmas decor
there
up.
You have more
decorations than I would ever put. I do not like putting up decorations. I don't know what
you
it is.
Seem like a Scrooge to
I'm
me.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know. I mean, I love Christmas, but gosh, it's a lot of work.
Oh, no, I had to actually this
past... Well, you
past,
got girls that are probably into it too, right?
Yeah, this past weekend I actually had to go take out a second mortgage and head to Lowe's to get all brand new Christmas decorations.
Oh, yeah.
That is something I didn't think to put in the divorce decree. That we were splitting Christmas decorations.
That would have been nice.
So she took all this stuff and you got left.
She didn't take it. She just kept it because I didn't take it.
And then he probably was over there putting it up for him.
He's all, how'd you know?
Because I know him very well.
I did not do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was very busy. I haven't got to it yet. I've been putting up my stuff.
That was so funny.
That's part of the friendship,
though. That is cool. No, I mean, I laugh. I joke. But that is, you know, I guess kind of having that relationship, though, that you can still the back and forth. And, mm-hmm. you know.
That is pretty cool.
Well, I mean, and shoot, I mean, you guys... I mean, that's the thing. Him and the ex, they grew up. I mean, you guys started dating in high school, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they know each other most of their life.
We rode the bus together when we were little kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I made fun of her till she was pretty. And then
and you're like, hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Remember all that stuff I said?
I didn't mean it.
I didn't
mean it.
Wasn't me. I didn't say it.
That was old me, baby.
Yeah.
I'm a new man. I'm a changed man.
He's that guy on the bus. You'd be getting on the bus. He'd be like, seat's taken. Can't sit here.
On the Buell bus. The bus to Buell Elementary.
The one.
The one bus.
Seat's taken.
All right. Let's shout out to Buell. There were five buses.
Buell. Come on now. If you can spell Buell, I'll give you a cherry soda.
B-U-H-L.
There he is. Cherry soda.
From Dietrich.
I saw that. No, not.
I saw them.
I'm not from Dietrich, but I did go to Kimberly.
Oh, Kimberly. That's right. Okay. I knew you were from over there somewhere.
You got a bulldog in the house.
That's okay, terrible. I went, you know.
Dog door's right there.
Okay, that's as far as, like, I don't know what Buell is, so.
Native Americans?
What are they called?
Indians?
Are they really? Are they the Buell Indians?
For as now, you should be.
That's good.
Well, are you going to be the Guardians now?
Dude, how is Buell Guardians? How has that not been canceled yet? Because Cleveland Indians haven't been canceled, so I guess that's the...
Yeah, they're the Cleveland Guardians now.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I actually like that name. That's a good name. What do you think the Washington football team will be?
Just Washington football.
They got to change it. I can't...
They're like, you know what?
I can't stand... It's not, though. Like, I can't stand it. And everybody... You'll even hear guys on ESPN call them the Redskins, like what they used to be. Uh-huh. And then somebody will be like, it's a football team. What'd I say? You know, because it's so... Mm-hmm. We need a new name. And then I'll know that name.
Well, yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but it's like the Washington football team, WFT. It's like, you know someone's going to mess up and be like, what the WTF? I mean, you know, actually, that fits better.
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody's thinking. What was the name of that team? WTF? That's what I'm thinking.
Sounds good to me.
Negative 14 yards rushing, negative 8 yards passing, 4 turnovers, and they still beat the Broncos?
WTF.
And they still beat the Raiders, too.
WTF?
Yeah.
Old Buell. Well.
No, I was only a Bulldog for, let's see, kindergarten, first, and second.
Then he became a...
Well, first that was the Thunderbolt.
Oh, that's right.
Because that's what he's Falcon, candy.
By the way. That was I don't think they sound like that.
I don't think so either.
Angry Pigeon.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, speaking of Falcons, I told you about getting attacked by a Falcon
no.
on our base. Did I tell you about that?
Was it like
story time?
That's an Air Force Base story that just sounds like an Air Force Base
it was.
Story.
It was.
I need to know.
Yeah. Which the Air Force is the Falcons. I don't know why we are, but that's what we are.
Well, I hope that you're talking about like a bird Falcon, not the Falcon.
It was a bird. Jet. Yeah, it wasn't a person. Hey, man, I'm a Falcon. No.
Where's your ID card?
So
why are you out past curfew?
Close to where we work. I was
what if I buzz the tower?
I was having to walk over to another building. There are towers out there.
I know. That's why I said that.
No, I didn't know anybody buzzing those towers with a Black Hawk helicopter or an A-10 that goes like, it's like an old Datsun getting up and going. Burr, burr,
burr. That's a 30-second soundbite. That thing is just getting by it.
Yeah. No, we have so it's a birds of prey habitat, and they decided to set up a nest out there on the base.
I'm already laughing because I can just,
gosh dang
I'm picturing
it. And
this
I'm
in
walking,
my head.
So I'm walking over, so... You know, we work on one side of the street, which is like Army buildings. And I go over to this other side, where is where the Air Force stuff is. So I'm going to get my, like, some uniform stuff. And I see the sign, and it says, like, birds of prey nesting area. You know, and it's, like, coned off. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'll avoid that. Well, as I'm walking down the middle of the road to avoid it, something hits my head. I'm not kidding. This is not made up. It hit my head. And I look up, and this bird had flown up, and then it goes up into a tree, and it's staring right back down at me. And I'm like, what was that? Is that that bird? Oh, my gosh. So I'm, like, just staring at this bird, trying to make my way to the building, and, of course, this door's closed. You know, it's locked. I need to go around to the other one. This bird comes down again.
Gets you again.
Hey, get some ice while you're at it. Make some more noise, Troy. Troy's just serving himself a drink over here. That's just part of that.
He's all, don't mind if I do.
He's all, no, I'm going to get a beverage. I said, there's a beverage here. So the bird comes down again to try to hit me, and it just missed my head. And I barely get over to the corner. I'm getting ready to go back in the door, and the thing came down a third time trying to hit me in the head.
Please tell me you were screaming.
I don't. I was by myself. I was making probably weird noises. So, I don't
yeah,
know.
You were screaming.
Yeah, I was like a. But I go in there. I'm like, what the heck, man? There's like a bird out there. Like, yeah, you got to be careful of the bird out there.
Like, that's nice to have known yesterday.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm avoiding it, but mm-hmm. No, apparently not. So falcons are very aggressive if you're around their nest. Just so you know.
Well, you know, as we learned this past spring, geese are also quite aggressive.
Mm. Yeah.
We had the two geese that were right outside the building. And we thought,
please tell me they attacked you, Steve.
They were attacking everybody. Okay, yeah, another bird story. So, by the way, if people don't realize, Gallon Field, it's by the airport here in Boise, and tons of birds of prey, you know, area come and nest on the base. Of course, if it's on the base, we can't touch. Nobody can do anything about it. Just let it happen. So you just got to lay back and let this happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these geese who are not even birds of prey, in fact, they're... They're invading our country, okay? These Canadians from the north.
They really are.
Okay. So they set up shop with a nest right by the entrance of our building. Mm. And there was just a female sitting on a nest for weeks. Weeks! You could just see this head out of the brush. And the male...
Because we're decorated with the finest sagebrush and box elders.
Yeah.
As you should.
And the male... would just be patrolling the sidewalk.
Just walking back.
Walking back and
pacing
forth.
Pacing back and forth.
Pacing, not kidding.
I love
all
it.
Day, every day. Screaming at, you know, whatever that noise is they
do
make.
A little hiss.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. And if you got close, it would come at, like, charge at you. And then it's taking a dump all over the sidewalk, too. So you got geese crap. Mm. This, and then you got to deal with their crap. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times this other guy we worked with, he said he would get attacked like all the time. trying to come in the side door, and it was like cornering him.
Well, one day I wasn't even thinking about it, and I walked out one of the side doors because I was taking a phone call, and that's how my daughter heard me scream.
Dude, that thing was mean.
Well, it was up on the tin roof, and it was like it was just afternoon enough that I could see the shadow off the tin roof. And I was on the phone and I was walking, so I was multitasking like crazy already. And then I see this shadow of what I thought was a winged devil coming off the roof. So instantly I'm in panic mode. And I hear just the little goose feet on the tin roof. So I've got sound, I've got sight, I've got confusion from thinking.
All of his senses are just going off.
Bro, these were no joke, man.
I've got to have this conversation with a 16-year-old, so I've mentally prepared for that for the last half hour. So my mind's in no condition to deal with anything else. And then this goose jumps off the roof and just wings me to death. And I screamed and I ran. I dropped the phone. I tripped.
It was a scuffle. I like it.
Instantly, I looked for you. I was like, I don't know if we have closed circuit TV cameras anywhere around here, but if we do, I need to go find the tapes and bash the cameras in. So this happens again.
Oh my gosh, man! They were out there for like a month too. I'm not even kidding. They were posted up outside the building for like a month straight, attacking people. Nothing you can do about it. So,
just well,
I mean, there is something you could. Yeah, there is some you could do, but anyway. I don't even know how we got... Oh, Falcons. Yeah, so you became a Falcon when? You like how I just got back to that?
And we're circling back.
Yeah. Falcons also make one of the best parents of the birds of prey, just to tie it back in.
There you go.
A lot of single dads flying around out there, because what they do, they abandon their children, and they just fly away.
That doesn't surprise me.
They're done protecting the nest, and they're like, I'm out, I gotta go make more babies, more spawns of Satan, to come attack from the skies above.
I gotta go teach some geese how to abandon their kids and just mess with people.
Yeah, man. Loyal companions, not so good with the kids, but that's how birds are. Unlike humans who have emotion and care about their children to some extent.
Some.
Yeah.
So. There are some that...
That's a new episode.
I mean, I got a friend that got divorced and the mom's just like, yep, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how you could do that, but...
Oh, man. One of our buddies that we work with, and not to get... Yeah, too, but yeah, his mom bailed on him when he was young, and that was not cool. Yeah, and you're like, how does that even happen? Because it's like the mom, you know what I mean? It's like it makes more sense, I guess, when the dads do it. I mean, they didn't really carry the kid around. I mean, not that they should, but you know what I'm saying. And then like this, but the mom's like, I'm out. And then the dad's like, what do I do? Or do nothing.
The thing that's crazy is
which is what he did
is a guy that I know. I mean, he's got six kids, and mom's just like, I'm out. She gone.
Really?
Yeah. And he's like...
How old were these kids when she bailed?
She just bailed a few months ago, actually.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so I think his oldest is...
Party?
She's
back on the market.
Yeah, no doubt. She hot? I'm kidding. That's a joke, guys. Everybody calm down. That's terrible.
Terrible.
No, I can't believe that.
You know she's down.
No, I think his oldest might be 14 at the oldest, and then all the way down to, I think, 5.
Oh, my gosh. And this poor guy, just in here like, I don't know what to do with my hands, like Ricky Bobby. I think the car drive real good.
Car drive real good. Yeah, but at the same time, you got to think, like, that caliber of woman that's like, I'm just bailing on this kid.
I think the kids are in better hands with
interesting
him than they would be with her.
Yeah, I guess that type of person that would just do that. I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play here. Like, there are probably a lot of signs leading up to it.
Apparently, she's on a soul searching journey.
Yeah, I wish we all could just go on a soul searching journey. Gosh, that's why you wait till your kids are older and they leave. Then you got your whole life ahead of you.
It's called the midlife crisis, I thought.
Yeah. The nice thing about this guy over here, you know, shoot, he's got one that she'll be graduating pretty soon. He just got the other one. He'll be called a day. He'll be right back out there. Because parenting's over when they leave the house. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me that the first real love in my life is getting ready to leave me in a couple years.
Yeah. Why would it be a jerk like that?
Oh, it's already happened this year, Steve. I don't need it again.
Boy. I'm cold-blooded, baby.
Real awkward. Real fast.
Well, you know what? She needs to
turn the microphone off.
We're going to pause for this commercial break.
Yes.
Leave it rolling. We'll edit this out.
The music.
Tubas. And come back in. So Steve had to step out for a second.
Yeah, he's done with the podcast.
Might be Bobby.
It's all good. Oh, man. Yeah, that's true. So out of the three of us, yeah, you're going to be the first one leaving the nest. How do you do with it? Does it hit you?
I think it will. Because I'm kind of an emotional train wreck when it comes to my oldest. Just because first experience with her being born.
Right.
Like,
right.
I remember just crying more than she did the first year she was alive. Like, if there was a tear count, I was winning by a lot. And
this,
like,
boy's a Marine, too, man. Hate him. He was a Marine, hardened warrior.
They didn't harden you enough, did they?
Well, this is before that, so.
I guess that's true. You joined later.
Eventually, the emotion got beat out of me.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Or, I'm sorry, trained out of me.
Yeah, that's it. Drained out of him.
See, your local United States Marine Corps recruiter in your area.
Or dial this number.
Recruiter. I was a Marine.
Yeah, he was definitely a Marine.
Yeah, you got your emotion back when you joined the Army.
I don't
you?
Talk good, but I speak well.
So for about 5 years, you had no emotions, and then you got them back.
Yeah, after I got out, I got a package like 6 weeks later. It was USPS.
Yeah.
Like, 6 weeks later, I got it. I'm like, here's your emotions and feelings. I was like, I forgot about
those. There those are.
I missed you.
I've been looking for you for a while.
How do I put these back in?
I think you just, it's like a pill. You just kind of swallow them.
No, there was an instruction guide. It was all spelled wrong and in crayon, so... But I could read it and understand it just flawlessly.
But I think they were pills, but they were just too big to swallow. So you know, I had to take those things.
Well, I was gonna get there, but not really
like everything else in the Marine Corps.
Hey!
No, I'm just kidding.
What's funny is it wasn't Pfizer or any of those. It was Crayola actually got into the pill making industry, and they're very colorful, and they came in a 24 pack.
Knew it.
That was nice of them.
It was very nice of them. Colorful box, instructions on how to sharpen the pills before you went down. It was very nice.
Magenta.
Turquoise. But did the box have a crayon sharpener on the side?
Yes, it did.
Whoa.
That's how they went up smoother.
So, all right. So, Reese is, she's a junior. Junior, okay. So, you got half a school year down. One more. And, then she's gone. So what are you going to do? I mean...
I don't plan too far in the future anymore. So it's kind of like, you know, maybe she'll stay local.
Sure.
I hope she leaves the state. And I say that with just to go get experience in life.
As I'm right there with you.
A human adult on her own.
Yeah.
And not stay around here and not be like, man, I'm going to... You know, I'll come back to mom and/or dad's and do this stuff, and
yeah.
So I hope she goes out of state or across the country and goes to college, because I think that's the greatest life lesson, is being out on your own and having to figure that stuff out.
Yeah,
all the stuff they've kind of tried to teach you in school that doesn't really stick, and all the stuff that Victoria and I have tried to teach her, up to this point, like hopefully be like, here's why. Here's the why.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we've tried to teach you budgeting and responsibility, accountability, all that kind of stuff. And I don't think you really get tested until you get out there and actually take the test. I know I didn't.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Like, I hung around till I was 22 before I joined the military and left. And at the same time, that's kind of a mollycoddling thing at the same time, where to be... when to be, you have times, you have all this stuff.
Schedule. Yeah,
yeah, so ever...
Someone's doing their schedule for you.
It's parents. It's parents. They just have a different...
They're just meaner.
First and last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just meaner.
They're just meaner.
They're those parents that wish they could have just, you know, kicked these kids off a cliff, but instead they're stuck on this bus with them, like, 50 of them for, like, the next, you know, several months to years.
It's like you had a bunch of angry step-parents instead of just one.
That's military. Join now, guys.
Do it.
Regardless of branch, you're going to enjoy yourself, we promise. So,
United States Marine Corps recruiters are in every town.
Yeah,
we've got the Air Force, we've got the Army.
Air Force will be quite a bit nicer. Yeah, quite a bit nicer.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit. Like, it's not even comparable. In fact, it's so incomparable. If I was to say right now, go try to join the Marine Corps, they'd make me start all over again and go through boot camp because of how big of a joke the Air Force boot camp is compared. And apparently the Army feels the same way. Yeah, so there you go.
So you guys are the laughing stock?
They're not laughing. We're dropping them bombs, baby. Come on. Air superiority.
I'm just kidding. This got really stupid. Sorry.
It's got real awkward real fast.
Global strike.
No. No, they're just all different, you know. And just everybody knows the Marines is like the hardest. The longest one is the hardest one. And then, like, the Army's long and stupid. And the Air Force is a little shorter, but still stupid. They're all dumb.
What about the Navy?
Huh? I don't even know how long the Navy's is. Like, I think it's like the Army's, like 9 or 10 weeks. I don't know. They just, it's all, but it's good for you. I mean, like he's saying, you know, it teaches you how to be on time to things and discipline, and, you know, and the people that don't get broken or burned out do pretty well, usually. Even when they get out, they have more discipline and structure, and I don't know.
Sure.
But yeah,
sure. You're like, sure.
But you could also get that if you go to college and take it seriously, as opposed to moi, who went to college and just had
okay,
fun.
Okay, so so what was harder for you, Stephen?
What?
The boot camp or college football?
That's a tough. I don't know. I would say, no, gosh, I was going to say football. But the thing about football is you could go eat whenever you wanted and stuff. Boot camp is harder. It's for a shorter amount of time, but it is harder because it's like your whole life is controlled for whatever amount of weeks you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You eat when they tell you. You only get three. That's it. There's no like, I want a snack or I'm going to go eat this. Unless you sneak it out and you get busted with that. Like, I'm sure you've seen it happen. Too, yeah. I mean, everybody did it. I did not do that. I didn't want, like, because I didn't want to get in trouble for anything. I just want to get in and get out. It's not that hard. It's just you don't sleep a lot. You do a lot of dumb stuff. You don't eat very much. Whatever. It's like a Band-Aid. Pulled off, and you're done.
Mm-hmm. Which ties right back into parenting an infant.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Your time's not yours. You're always told what to do. You're on someone else's schedule. You don't get to eat. You don't get to sleep.
Exactly.
It's so true. That's a good point you make. And that's why I had one.
I had four.
One more reason to why I chalk it up to one was enough for Big Daddy.
I had four, but
yeah.
Two for one right there.
Yeah, and he still doesn't get to eat or sleep when he wants to, hardly. He goes to eat, they slap it out of his hand. He goes to sleep, they slap that out of his face. You sleep when I'm done being here.
Yeah, right. No. They actually let me sleep. They bug Valerie more.
Oh, I'm sure she loves that,
too.
Oh,
she hates it. I'll literally be sleeping on the couch, and she'll be sleeping in bed, and they'll go find her. Why don't you ask Dad? He's sleeping. Well, so am I!
That's respect right there, baby.
Yeah, but he has a different approach when we wake him up, and he's taught us a lesson.
Yeah. He throws things when he gets woke up abruptly.
Yeah. Debatable.
He conditioned us early.
Yeah. Oh, man. So is Reese, she talked about college? Is that what she's thinking then? Probably.
Yeah, she has. But just like any young lady, it's kind of just the confusion of, I don't know what to do. You know, my friends have this plan and they're going to go do this. And she just has that confusion. But it's like, actually, you're light years ahead of them because they think they have a plan.
I was going to say, they think they have a plan.
Most people don't have
a plan. You're actually in a better spot having no plan just as of yet.
And yeah.
I was like, life's fluid, so don't make a plan. Like, you'll get to where you need to be when you need to be there.
Loosey-goosey.
And I always tell her, like, you know what? Like, you don't have to make a plan right now. I'm 37. I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
Yeah.
So I tell my kids all the time.
Yeah, we're still growing up too.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
At least
we're still thinking.
Yeah, all you can do is hopefully while you're still growing up, you can make some money and live somewhat comfortably. Like, that's really, you know, all you can try to do. And then whenever you grow up, you know, you'll lose all your money and it'll be fine.
For me, it's only taken 21 years. Here I am.
You won't have anybody to take care of anymore. So,
whatever. Yeah, basically, that's what we tell them all the time. Oh yeah, we'll get that. When you guys are out of the house.
Yeah, right.
And then we'll enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, should have bought a bigger house. Well, we'll have a bigger house. Oh, and you guys move out and then we'll build on.
Kids say the funniest things.
It'll be the same house. It'll just be bigger when you're out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
I'm going to have an office and a gym and a library and a study.
We're going to build a garage with a bonus room above it. But, grandkids can sleep up there.
Me and mom are building a playroom when you guys move out. We have all kinds of stuff up
there.
Man.
A playroom, huh? Oh, boy. I got to say, yeah, too. I mean, the other thing is, yeah, I think so. When you were becoming a single dad, you kind of had to restart your life somewhat, like get a house, right? Get a place, get that the way you want it, which you probably didn't realize how you wanted to look until you had your own house to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're the Boise real estate market at that point was super friendly to buyers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, and the the funny story, and can I plug Victoria?
Go ahead.
Sure. So my real
you want to say that again?
I don't need your consent. So she's a real estate agent, and even though she was my soon to be ex spouse, she was my real estate agent because I was like, you know what? I know a lot of real estate agents and professionals, and I still didn't really trust anyone more than her.
No,
I, she's very knowledgeable, and she. At the same time, she had the kids' best interests in mind, too. So it was like she was looking for good areas, good something kind of close. I know that was one of the things we kind of tried to hone in on was being close. And
yeah, that's cool.
We must have seen 50 houses.
Yeah, I remember
And lost out on 49 offers on stuff. And that was over asking and everything. But like with that was kind of a challenge and a setback, too. Because it was like, all right, getting ready. But like I said earlier, like I was like, you know, I'm a good dad. I got this. I got all this. It's going to be fine. I'm just going to take on a little bit more. And finally finding the house. And you saw it. Like you and Juliana and Alex came over that first day.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is a really nice house. I was like, I'm gutting the whole thing.
Yeah.
So to add more stress onto everything, I was like, you know what I'm going to do?
Gutted the whole house.
I'm going to rip out every single thing in this house. And me and the kids are going to live in it every other week while we do it. You know, so that we could get past that tribulation.
Yeah.
And that trial.
I mean, I look around now, though, like, it's crazy. This doesn't even look like the same place. It's amazing. You done good, kid. You done good.
Well, what was kind of fun was we had... I've actually got some videos and stuff of, like, when we were doing demolition, which is my favorite thing, just...
Cause that's everyone's favorite thing.
I'm not just a man. I'm just a little boy that's in a bigger body.
Yeah.
With some more experience. But it was like sledgehammer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So brought Landry in. I'm like, here's your hammer. I don't care what you do. Just don't hit the windows yet. Because it's December.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot like I did with you one day.
Yeah.
We were like, what comes out? Everything comes out. Just not the windows.
Yep.
If it's glass, don't hit it.
Demo's fun.
So that was fun. The rest of it wasn't, trying to live through the remodel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was a really good learning experience for all of us because it was like suffering together.
Yeah.
Just kind of that mutual suffering kind of brought you closer. So we didn't have a dinner table for a long time. So it was because it was like, well, I don't want to get a dinner table. Or I don't want to bring it in from the garage yet type stuff. So we ate on bar stools.
There you go.
Or like there's pictures and videos I've got of me and the kids like ordering out and eating on the floor. And through the whole process, I was like, you know what? This is an experience.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like it's a memory for them. Like to be like, you know, I remember Dad's first house. Like we came together still like. Me and the girls came together. We'd eat pizza or Chinese food, or I think 9 out of 10 weeks we ordered Chick-fil-A.
God, Chick-fil-A.
It's delicious.
Just the line, man, every time.
And, Siri just kicked on my watch to try to get Chick-fil-A coming.
No, Siri, no.
It's like, did you want Wok Fusion or Chick-fil-A?
Neither. Quit listening to our conversation, Mark.
Actually, you guys want any food? I can order some Chick-fil-A. I think it's already on the way.
It's probably already on.
It's bringing the usual.
It's a nightly thing. It just shows up right at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we're getting three number ones.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, you know, obviously, I haven't talked to you and seen you a lot during that time, but going through that experience, the ups and downs, I
I can only imagine it probably made your bond a little stronger.
It really did. So, like, kind of going through that and going through that together with them was something I think we're going to have for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, like, at the same time, like, you, like, as my best friend and mm-hmm. Seeing each other at work every day, like, yeah. I'd come to you and be like, I'm not doing okay.
Yeah.
And I'd have to come to you for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think...
Weren't you ever there for me?
I got time for everybody's crap.
Come on, Dr. Phil.
I can only handle one to two people at a time.
Dr. Phil.
he was zoned in on me. He's like, this poor little wounded bird.
He was my bird.
This wounded falcon.
This wounded falcon over
I wanted to fly high so he'd come back and peck my brains out later.
But that was one of the harder things was...
Yeah.
Especially like trying to keep the work life and the home life. The disastrous home life at that point together was like, I would come and I'd vent to you.
Or yeah.
Not ashamed to say it, I'd cry to Steve quite a bit. Or I'd call him just like on a random Sunday morning. Be like, hey, what's up? I was like, I'm not doing okay. And, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because then I'd have to put on the makeup and go out and like talk to the girls.
Yeah.
Be like, right. Or that was a day I was with the girls or the week I was with the girls. I would be like, all right, man. I gotta get my therapy session in. So sometimes I'd call Steve at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, hey, are you awake? He's like, I
am now.
I answered my phone. I don't do that in my sleep very often.
That would actually sounds like something Steve would say. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm gonna make small talk for about 5 minutes while you figure out who you're talking to and gather your senses.
Yeah.
And then I'm just gonna unload on you.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna seek your counsel.
Yeah.
And
good old Steve.
You know, that was it's
listen, Steve here. He looks like an a-hole. Like this big old giant that's just gonna beat everyone up. Nah, he's a big old teddy bear.
Hey man, you know, I really do take a lot of pride in being there for the people I care about, which is not very many people. Really. I mean, I like a lot of people. I don't really care about a lot of people. I care about my family, you know. But I think, and I've talked to the wife about this a lot, is I think the advantage, another advantage, because I think there's a lot of advantages, and maybe just because I'm biased, but having only the one kid, is that I can have more time to be there for other people, too. Like, mm-hmm. And we mean, like, even, like, our family, our nieces, our nephews, we can be a lot more involved with them. But yeah, man, I mean, and the thing is, when you were going through your hard times, I had just gone through that almost same thing like 2 years prior with my other really close friend, Riley, who had gone through a divorce. And he knows him. And you probably know him too. I don't know if you do. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. Anyway, he was going
through... Was he at Cinco de Mayo?
No, he wasn't. He was in Montana. Shout out to Riley Devins, principal. Okay, nope. Frenchtown Middle West. Frenchtown Elementary.
He was.
No, he wasn't there.
Are you sure about
guarantee
that?
Guarantee you. I remember being
the principal there.
No, that was 4th of July party. That wasn't Cinco de Mayo. That was 4th of July. That's right. Anyway.
4th, 5th.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, but I had actually, it was nice because, I don't want to say it's nice, but at least I kind of, like, I experienced that with him and was there for him and had those talks, long talks and the emotions. And then when you were doing it, I was like, well, I got a little practice. See if I can do it better this time.
See if you were in the wrong profession.
I don't know, man. I don't think so.
You went from your bachelor's program to your master's program.
No, I don't know. Like I said, I don't really care to hear people's problems that much. Especially, I don't know. We all got problems, but when it's somebody you care about, somebody you love, you want to be there for them. But no, I mean, it's cool to see how things turned out. And, you know, I mean, you're rocking and rolling. And I know with our job, too, man, like, I've told Adam a lot. Like, it's not that accommodating when you start. When everything's going smooth, like, at home and everything, like, it's a well-oiled machine. Yeah, job's easy. It's great. Being gone, no big deal. When you're going through problems, because it does happen. I mean, the military's hard on families anyway, depending on what you're doing. But this job can be tough. And when he was going through his divorce and stuff, I mean, you still got to go to work, do a little stuff, go to travel. You know, they're not going to stop the mission. They're not going to stop working because you're going through your problems. So it makes it a lot harder.
It's easy because you can teleport now, right?
Oh my gosh. I got it. Have you heard this?
Another shout out to Microsoft Teams.
Yeah. No. I got hit up with this on the way over here. One of our buddies sends me this video of us, and supposedly the Army back in 2016 teleported some soldiers from
America to Germany.
Yeah.
In 2016.
And this was on army.gov or something.
Something like that, yeah.
This chick found it. I don't know. I haven't even fact checked it. It was on TikTok. It was on TikTok, so it's true. So okay. I already don't believe it.
You know what? You got the wrong mindset.
But hey, we can teleport people now, supposedly, so.
You didn't know that?
You just now get.
I'll tell you who they won't be teleporting. That's us, because we got to drive our big blue trucks places. We got to get there.
Next year.
Looking like we're storm chasers. That's what we look like.
You got Dorothy in the back?
Dude, we do have a Dorothy.
What are you hauling in that trailer? It's a bunch of tornado stuff. I don't know.
Just mind your business.
We just opened the door and leave the trailer in the path of the tornado.
Yeah. Her name's not Dorothy, though. Her name is Cinnamon, and that's our robot.
Cinnamon,
yeah, we got sisters.
We got sisters.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'd say, it's almost December now. Man, it's been a year, and, I think we're at a good spot to have this conversation and just check in, see how things are going with the single dad life.
Yeah.
Still grinding.
I still have to say, I know my situation is uniquely not unique, but I have a very, very, very good relationship with my former spouse. So, we're even doing Christmas together this year. We did Thanksgiving together this year.
Oh, nice.
So it's very, I know there's a lot of single moms and dads out there that probably don't have that exact relationship. So I can't speak onto what they're going through and what they do. But for me, it's just been amazing. Just the support from Victoria on all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I try to reciprocate that as much as I can to her, because I know it's not easy to do that kind of stuff. And I look at myself and I'm like, this sucks and this is a hard time, and it's like trying to go through this, trying to figure it out. And you really do have to kind of look at the other side and take a different perspective from it. Cause it's like, your spouse is going through the same stuff too.
Yeah.
So you do have to keep that in mind on stuff. Like, just because you're going through it, you're not alone. You're just on the other side of the quarter. So it's...
He's like the poster child right now.
I know.
Well, I mean...
Dr. Phil, I need a session.
All right, man. I'll tell you what, Troy. I'd love to have you down.
I'm trying to do a spinoff on my own podcast.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know how to do it, so I need you guys' help.
That's why he had us come. Hey, man, I was divorced once. Cookie, get out of here.
Actually, Cookie was divorced a few times. Actually, he never bed down anybody, though. Never got married.
Man, that guy.
Doesn't mean he didn't bed nobody down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hay out there with stains on it.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's the hay.
A lot of hay to be rolling in. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Old Cookie.
Oh, man. All right,
I got a question, because it is just while you were talking. So you got a 16-year-old daughter.
Right.
How do you deal with 16-year-old daughter and the boys?
What a great question. Oh, give him a little. How old's Allie? Just so he's...
Oh, she's 12.
Yeah, so he's almost got a teen.
She's already got a couple boys.
Pre-teen, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't use Cookie.
No.
I ain't coming to help nobody.
You can't even help yourself, Cookie.
I can't. Where's my horse? It is dark. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I gotta go find my horse. I'll see you guys later. And there he goes.
He got one.
I'm glad he showed up. I didn't know he knew how to get over here. He must have followed me. I thought I saw a horse back there when I was
into
driving
the
up.
Sunset. Just like he's supposed to.
When I was driving down Meridian Road, I thought I saw a horse back there. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, he was going fast too, man.
Well, it is a farm town.
I know. I know. Still, is a farm town. You know,
dairy days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
There's a lot of horses by my house. Anyway, no, yeah, back to you.
So I try to look at it from as many perspectives as I can. So she's 16. She's a beautiful young lady. So there's going to be boys. But I trust so much in her. Like, in her decision, her decision-making process. And that's all you really can do. Because you can't control it. She's like, I'm going out on a date. You can't be there. Because that's...
Who said you can't be there?
Me.
You said Cookie.
He would look so creepy at the Yard House.
We should hire him to watch.
he would be terrible. He'd just be sitting back with a straw hat.
He'd act like he's a cook over there. Hey, man.
The guy stinks. He doesn't shower.
I was going to get you sitting on his horse by the fountain. The horse is drinking out of the fountain. He's just in there with
he's done. A
monocle. looking in the windows at the Yard House.
Trying to be sophisticated.
He's done. He just tries to blend.
They're sitting on the patio. It's a nice summer day. And he's like, I'm going to get some voice recordings. So instead of like a microphone or anything like that, he just throws one of those old like Home Alone like voice recorder things just over there by them.
Yeah.
Sorry, drop that. Leave it there. I'll pick it up later.
Yep. So. That won't work. So you trust her.
That's
it's trust.
I trust her because like her mom and I are on the same page with stuff. We've talked to her about stuff too, and we know she's more than capable of making the right decision, and we trust in that, and she knows that, and she's, like I said, she's very responsible. If you ask her or tell her to do something, I take that back. We don't tell her to do anything. We ask her to do stuff because we know she will accommodate us on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So. We trust her on that, and at the same time, like, little bird's got to fly. Little bird's got to leave
her nest. Yeah, no, I get you.
Like,
she's a peacock, you got to let her fly.
I'm a peacock! Gotta let me fly!
Well, after I dried my tears on the day, I brought her home from getting her driver's license.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this guy.
I did. It was like... cold. It was COVID times. Oh, you had to wear a mask in the DMV.
Oh,
and
I get you.
Like, it was very different when I got my license.
Somebody's cooking onions in there.
Because it was, like, when I got my license, it was at the Buell DMV where you'd stand there. And my dad was standing over my shoulder by the front desk where I was taking the test, standing up. And I was like, he's like, it's C.
He's standing right there. And I never got that.
He's like, no, I need you to get a good. I need you to get a good score on
this. Yeah,
that's lower insurance.
Yeah,
he's like, it's C, and it was small town farm community, so it was like, yeah, it's C. It's like, yeah, it's C. You didn't know that?
Sheriff's over there. Come on, even I knew that.
Cookie would be in Buell.
Cookie, sure. Hey man, show him. Hey man, everybody knows it's C, man. You gotta be buckled up 10-2, man. You gotta
no. Anyway, he doesn't even drive. He did pass the test flying colors, so yeah, true story.
So she got out of her test and like standing up there like, congratulations, you get your license, and I'm just a mess, like pulling my mask up over my eyes.
His mask like this, but his mouth's out.
It was to the point where I was like tearing up so bad that like I was kind of standing back just like
sir, are you okay?
Someone's cutting onions.
Yes, he's cutting
onions. No, to the
it's a grease fire.
The wonderful lady that was like issuing her license behind the counter, like she was crying.
What? Because of you?
Yeah. So there's
look what you've done.
There's poor Reese standing there, like, what are these old people doing?
It's like vomiting, but for crying.
It was
sympathetic. He cried. They set her up. Yeah, and
it was sympathetic sympathy.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the lady back there is like tearing up, and she hands me a tissue, and she's like dabbing her eyes.
Aww.
And we get out, and Reese is like, you want to go Chick-fil-A? to like, tie right back into an earlier statement. No. She's like, you want to go Chick-fil-A? I was like, yeah.
Yep.
And we'd been doing like the 6-month driving with a parent thing. So I was like,
let's do it.
No, I want to go to the bar because you can technically.
Dude, that's the thing, man. He's always had a babysitter. And then now he's got a DD. He knows what he's doing.
No, we didn't. That was
not that night.
Months / days later.
So, maybe hours.
Yeah.
So we got home and she kind of looked at me. She's like first time driving solo on her own.
Right.
She's like, can I go over to my friend's house? And I was just like, same tenant I've always kind of kept. I was like, spread your wings, little bird, fly. And it was me and her mom were kind of sitting there. She's like, you want to let her go? I was like, it's...
She's got to learn somehow.
This is the beginning of everything. Like, she's going... Yeah. She has to.
Yeah, you've done your job, you know. You got to let him go.
Like, I did my 6 months of pretending to care about how she drives and keeping my mouth shut when she'd hit a curb or...
Oh, God, we are.
It's like... You know, that's bad on the tires.
Yeah. Like, I'll have to fix that later.
Hint, hint.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't hit people.
Yeah. People are real bad on the insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that.
Man. It's not like Grand Theft. The more you hit, the more points you get. Yeah.
So to answer your question with that, like, we've always had, like, just a tremendous amount of trust in Reese. She's always been just an old soul. And mature beyond her years type thing. So it's not tough. So when the boyfriends come around, she's got a boyfriend now.
And where's he live?
Close.
What's his address?
Yeah, I get you his 10-digit grid.
He can't read that.
I can get you an address.
Type it into Google and probably figure it out. Yeah, there you go.
No, he's a really good kid. And that's another testament to her is she chooses good people to be in her life. Nice. Type thing. So that's like good. when we interact around him, like he comes over for dinner here. We've had dinner at Victoria's house. We've had those kind of things. It's just like you can kind of see the people she interacts with. Mm-hmm. And she's very discerning in who she lets into her life.
Nice.
So good. It's not a lot of trust issues on that or anything. Like it's like, you know what? Like you're me and your mom.
Yeah.
You just don't happen to be in your late 30s. You happen to be in your mid-teens. And you're taking this and kind of carrying it. Because she's like, there's some people she'll, like, friends and stuff, she'll be like, you know, I just don't agree with what they're doing. Or I don't agree with who they are as a person or how they treat people. So I'm not going to hang out with them anymore.
There you go.
And that is, for me, I was like, as a teenager.
Yeah, to do that, that's pretty good.
X amount of years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, no, even if they were a terrible person or a great person, you're like, yeah, well, I kind of want people around me and I want to be popular. So I'm going to let that
piece
of trash in my life.
I probably was around some people like that, for sure. Yeah. And I'm looking at Adam here.
No, I'm looking at you.
Oh, I'm like, come on. I think it's safe to say, honestly, from what I can tell, like, Reese, because she's earned your guys' trust, probably takes a lot of pride in that and... That seems like the last thing she'd want to do is to lose that trust.
Well, that's something we've done very early on, and that's like through the single parenting thing on both of our sides is the accountability. Mm-hmm. Like we've always tried to teach accountability. Like if this, then this. Like if you do this, there's praise or reward or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But also on the converse of that, if this, then this, there's going to be consequences and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
She's never pushed us to the point where there's been extreme consequences.
Good.
But it's been pretty great just because she, like I said, man, she is just so reasonable and accountable. And it just amazes me that at her age, she has that maturity. Where it's like, no, man. Like, she has a curfew on weeknights and mm-hmm. she has a curfew on weekends.
Mm-hmm. She ever late?
No, she's never late.
Wow.
And if she
I always bust a curfew.
That doesn't surprise. That's why I was looking at you.
Yeah.
Well, she actually one time she
That's just a recommendation.
She knew, so she had the wherewithal to kind of be like, Dad, I wanted to call you. And it was like 11:50. She's like, hey, because like we're like ever like her the village, her mom's house, right. Boyfriend's house, my house. Is all very close. So she had actually called me at like 11:50-ish. She's like, Dad, I wanted to let you know I think I might be late, but it's because I'm having a problem with my headlights.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. Like, I had my vehicle serviced. I don't know if they got in and tested the headlights, so I can't get my automatic headlights to come on. So I was like, thank you for actually calling.
Right, yeah.
and like, hey, I'm going to be late. I just wanted to let you know what the issue was. Sure. Instead of like, you know what, I'm going to be late and let dad worry and then get home and tell him about it.
And that's usually the biggest problem, right? The parent worries and then now you've got issues.
It's been so long that like I've got the doorbell camera that sends me an alert that when I'm asleep, I don't hear. So it's got to the point where on a weekend, if I'm in bed by like 9:30 or 10, because I've got the girls, so I'm doing nothing but like watching movies.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to bed early so I can get up and do whatever chores I have to do the next day. I don't even stay up for her.
Wow.
It's like, you know what? I mean, because at that point, it's late.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're tired, she's tired, it's the end of the day. Like, nothing good is going to come from that conversation.
Sure.
So it's like, you know what? I wake up and I look at the doorbell camera and it's 11:50, 11:52, 11:55 on a curfew of 12.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool.
Yeah, you made it.
And if sometime I wake up and I look and it's 12:36 and I didn't get an explanation.
Oh, boy.
The best time to address that is probably the next morning.
Yeah.
Like, not go wake her up, let her sleep. Because I had that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, miss curfew and it was 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, what did you do last night?
That's like, a busted curfew.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm a moron right now because I've had 3.5 hours of sleep or 4 hours
of
sleep.
I had a lot of club sodas last night. I have no recollection of what happened.
So it's like those are lessons learned from my teenage years too. Is like, you know what? The best way to handle this, if it comes about, is a good night's sleep for both of you and talk about it the next day. Like, hey, what happened?
See, I love it. So it's like, very calm, cool, collect. Well, I just lose my mind right then and there.
Well, you're not going to be able to fix it.
That doesn't surprise me.
I know. I'm terrible. That's why I'm saying there's more than one way to do this thing. Hey, man, there's more than one way to parent these kids, man. I got like 13 of them out there. I don't even know where they are.
If she's 30 minutes late. What are you doing? If she's 30 minutes late, 35 minutes after curfew is not the time to try to sort that out.
No, totally. And
come up with solutions and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
no, I get you.
The next morning's always the best time to be like, hey, what happened?
Hey.
How did it happen?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's some things we can do in the future. And I'm never a one-chance guy. It's never one of those like...
You blew it.
You messed up.
Yeah.
Slashing your tires, bending your car keys.
That seems extreme.
He's like, yeah. He's like, I know from experience.
I've seen it.
Hi, I was a teenager.
You could just say no, I guess.
But or that,
take the keys in Buell, away. Did they take your tractor keys away too?
Tractor? No, you could actually still drive a tractor when you were grounded. That was actually your only form of transportation.
Well, that's where I was going to take it from.
I'm coming. I'm going to your house.
One night, I got, speak of the devil, I got in trouble for not making curfew, and I was a couple hours late, so my dad's punishment, passing this on to Reese as a not punishment, because I was like, this wasn't beneficial to anybody, was he made me wake up the next day at 6 in the morning. I came, he's like, wake up. I was like, I think I still am from last night, actually. He's like, all right, we're going to go corrugate the field next to the house. And for those of you that don't know what a corrugate is, it's putting little tiny rows in a field for water to go down to water the crops.
That seems fun.
I could never get those to start for the life of me.
Oh, no. And this was like, they had to be pretty precise because you had a little line. Like, the equipment had a line that it would put. So you'd make one row and it would have a thing out that would make a line for you to follow up the next row. So they were really straight. Mm-hmm. And this was the worst possible time on history for my father to make me do this. I have the attention span of a moth right now. This little asleep. You're mad at me.
He got you.
I had a night. And he made me do that.
Atta boy.
And we taught each other a lesson that day.
Because he realized, this, I'm not getting anything out of this guy.
Yeah.
He's like,
you're worthless.
Well, it was an alfalfa hayfield. Yeah. So you leave those in 3 or 4 years. And all the other farmers would drive right by that field. And after, like, the hay would be swathed, you could see just my Van Gogh artwork out there. I was corrugating this field. And they would just... 3 years, this man had to deal with this. They'd be like, nice corrugates out there, Ray. And but at the same time, he would have to. I would also have to deal with this.
He's like, every time somebody makes fun of my corrugate, I'm going to beat you.
He puts up a sign.
There was a trickle-down effect on my erroneous corrugating that day just because of the previous night's activities. And
still
my
to this day, it's the talk of the town.
Nobody ever did it that bad.
It made the Buell Herald.
Can you believe this?
McDonald's Field. Some sort of... Is it, I don't know if it's Art Monet or Art...
Looks like signs. What is that? The aliens are coming.
Yeah, crop circles in the McDonald's Hayfield.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
Dead spots everywhere because the water can't reach the crops in the middle because Troy's an idiot. And Ray perpetuated it.
Oh, my gosh. No, I get you. And that makes a lot of sense for maybe having a nice night's sleep and
Troy,
talk about it
the
next day.
Nope. You get a quote for the paper? I was real tired.
Well,
I'll tell you what, I had quite the night before.
He's all, well, I'd had a few cocktails in me, and it was a great night.
This actually might be the 20-year anniversary, so Buell Herald editors, if you're listening, I'd love to do
I'm
an interview.
Forward this to him.
Yeah, actually, I don't need to do the interview, just take it from the podcast.
Yeah,
there all you rights go. Reserved.
I like it. Oh, man. Well, you know, you did good, Reese, and you'll have your hands full with the little one coming up right behind her. So
yeah, she's a handful.
Yeah, so
that's
good luck.
Well, I've got a lot of experience because she is just a tiny me through and through.
Yeah,
see, everyone
don't
that knew
do
me and knows her knows exactly that. So I'm like, I got your playbook, little lady.
I wrote the playbook.
Yeah, no doubt.
Somehow, inherently, you're following my playbook. So...
I like it.
So a great defense on it.
I definitely yeah. will not be waking you up at 6 in the morning.
No. Yeah.
Go mow the lawn.
Oh my gosh. At least that will grow back, man. It's like...
You know what? Just go vacuum.
It's just... Your dad learned a lesson that day as a parent. You learned a lesson as a kid. Heck. Take that with you. Pretty good stuff.
Go try to do the dishes or something that we can just wash twice.
Yeah.
Nothing the neighbors can see.
Well... Yeah. You got anything?
No, I'm good, man. That was the only question.
That was a hell of a show. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I appreciate you doing this single father's holiday special.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. We should call it the single father's holiday special.
I'm pretty sure next week we have a single mother. That
yeah,
we're going to
get a single
so.
Mom. So, yeah.
So, Joey and Lauren were my opening act, and I'm her opening
yeah.
act. Who's the headliner?
Kiss.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know?
No.
And I want to rock and roll all night. They're doing a live performance in the Daggum Dad studio.
Wow.
I'll actually get some carpet on the ceiling.
Yeah.
I'll throw up some more pictures. We can get the acoustics in here just right.
Yeah, I think so.
I like it.
No, Kiss isn't coming. I don't know. So we'll figure it out.
Well, I'm doing it regardless, just in case.
No, okay,
they might be listening and be like, you know what?
They're like, those
Gene
heads.
Simmons. Hey, look at these guys.
Cookie loves Kiss.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Way I'll get him some pudding cups because I'd love to see that.
All right.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, hey.
This is awesome.
This is a great interview.
Appreciate you having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is going to do it for this episode. So everyone, remember your children are a blessing and don't take them for granted.
Everyone take care and goodbye.
Bye-bye.